Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Nine states and 60 sticks. Deal it out 2 hours a day. College football talk, been doing it for a decade. Thank y'all for that blessing. Mike Norvell is one of, is it five or six, a small number of coaches that as of now have all of their 2023 staff back. And so continuity is good. Now there's layers to that. You know, I mean, if you get a show calls or the right job doesn't come open for the coordinator, like there's a lot of reasons, but he's got a really, really good staff and he got them all back. And that's like an old school sort of advantage you don't even see anymore. Folks, returning starters, it used to be the 11th commandment. If you have, he's got 16 returning starters, well, they're going to be good. That's not even a thing anymore. Returning starters from where? Like two from Penn State, one from West Virginia, one from Arizona. No, Virginia Tech's got 19 starters back from a team that won, had finished with a winning record. So that is an old, that's not like an Old Testament sort of thing. It's so far in the rearview mirror. So we're going to find out the value of it. Good for Brent Pry. To year two, turned it around. Want to welcome on right now. Good friend of the program, and you can get him at TechSideline.com. TechSideline.com. Everything about the Gobblers, it's Andy Bitter. Andy, welcome back. How you been, man?
I've been pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. Let's talk about the program a little bit and the concept. Just talk organizationally, because they were listing a little bit. The program wasn't what it had been. At the end of the Fuente thing, almost everybody was happy to see him go, from what I could tell. And it didn't start off so super-duper even through September last year. Talk about the turnaround, because it was a nice little finishing kick, including figuring out a way in 23 to get a team to care about a bowl game.
Yeah, it was rough there for a while. You know, Brent Pry started his career with a 3-8 record in his first season. And he was 1-3 through September last year with losses to Purdue, Marshall, and Rutgers. Not exactly a murderer's row of opponents there. And then things sort of clicked for this team and this program. Kyron Drones went in at quarterback, really reshaped the offense in terms of being able to have a dual threat guy that could run the ball. He really opened up the running game. They shored up some things defensively, started looking like a team that you would imagine it would be with a defensive guy like Brent Pry as its head coach. And, you know, they started making some special teams plays. Just the altogether, they just were a much, much better team down the stretch. Won 5 ACC games, which is more than I think a lot of people thought they would. And, you know, with almost everybody coming back, I think there's a lot of excitement for this team in 2024.
How'd they pull that, by the way? Because the way we think about it, you've got to be Ohio State or Texas alumni with fat stacks who are used to decades of national championships. How have they handled that on the campus in Blacksburg?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is culture. I think it's sort of a fun program to be around. I don't think you could say that when Justin Fuente was here. I think that was one of the bigger complaints.
It was a bit intense.
Yeah, he was. That was not the forte of the team at that point. I think that's sort of Brent Pry's MO, as he's a tough coach, but he's also a player's coach. He wants this to be a place that people want to stick around. Now, I think it helped that, you know, some of the guys that had NFL decisions, they weren't obvious NFL guys. You know, Dorian Strong is probably the best prospect they had, cornerback. He had a great year, but I think he would be a mid-round guy if he would have gone. So he's coming back. Antoine Powell Ryland, sort of a tweener rush end. He's coming back for another year. So a bunch of receivers decided to come back for another year that maybe could have tested the waters in the NFL. So I think Virginia Tech's one of those programs that, you know, they have a lot of guys that aren't like draft superstars. And if you're not a draft superstar, maybe it's better to come back to college for another year, improve that stock a bit, make some money, through NIL. I mean, I feel like programs like Virginia Tech can really take advantage of being situated for guys specifically like that.
You mentioned drones. Talk about what's next, because despite what he looks like physically, he's still a kid. Like, first digit of his age is still a one, isn't it?
It might be. I'd have to look that up. I'm not sure. I think he's in his fourth year of college coming up, so he's probably in his 20s.
All right, he's 21 now.
But yeah, I mean, he's only started, 10 games in his career, and I think you saw that growth from week to week. This was a much more established passer by the time he got to the end of the season. Really looked comfortable throwing the ball, high percentage of the, not a huge high percentage, but sometimes he'd go out there and throw really high percentage games and really move the ball through the air. And I think that was the concern with him coming into the season was, you look at him physically, he's a tank. I mean, he can run the ball, he can carry a running game for you and get 15 to 20 carries. How's he going to throw the ball? And even without his top receiver, Ollie Jennings, who was hurt all season, he threw the ball all right. He was productive through the air. So I think with all these receivers coming back, Bashaw Tutin back at running back, drones continuing to get used to this offense, I think the ceiling is very high for this team, especially having a quarterback back for a second season. Virginia Tech has not had a starting quarterback start 10 games in consecutive seasons since Logan Thomas in 2013 and 2014.
Interesting. Another big, giant physical kid back there, too.
Actually, I should say 2012 and 2013, I think it was. It's been a while. You're talking about a guy who's at the tail end of his career in the NFL as a tight end. So it's been over a decade since they've had somebody, that continuity at the position. I think that's going to be really important for this offense going forward, and probably one of the leading reasons why I think there is a lot of excitement about this team going into this season.
Yeah, and he did have a true redshirt out there at Baylor, not just the 22 season, so you're right about that. But eligibility-wise, he's still going to be heading into he still has plenty of that left. Let's talk about defense, because you mentioned the head coach, and anybody with a little bit of a memory, I mean, for decades, it was still Bud and the defense, and, you just kind of knew what you were going to get over there. And you also mentioned, every April we're used to seeing some Hokies come off the board in the NFL draft. Where are they on that side of the ball? Because that really was the personality of the program and the lunch pail and everything else for more than a minute.
It was, and it kind of got away from that. Started to get that way in the latter 20 years. Just didn't have the guys, didn't have the dudes on that side of the ball. Sometimes you just need some guys to go out there and make plays. As much as it was scheme and intensity that Bud Foster brought to the thing, they also had some guys that got drafted, especially in the secondary. I think they're getting back to that. Dorian Strong, Mansoor Delane at cornerback are two really strong cornerbacks there. Antoine Powell Ryland was threatening getting 10 sacks the first time since, and they haven't had somebody do that since Daryl Tapp, I think, in 2005. So it's been a while since they've had just this really get after it type of defensive end. And, they were second in the ACC last year in sacks. That's something they hadn't done lately. Now, there are other parts of the defense they're trying to shore up. Linebacker, they brought in Sam Brunfield from Middle Tennessee to be their Mike linebacker. I think he's a solid guy there. But I think just the personnel has been upgraded on that side of the ball in recent years. And, you need some guys to go out there and make plays. It can't just be scheme and scheme alone to get it done. And I think they're trending in the right direction there.
Can Newport News and Virginia Beach and all that, can that be Virginia Tech air territory again, or is that just like too many good players and so everybody's there? Because I'm looking at the recruiting list. It used to be like that's where the Hokies made hay, and then Florida State and Alabama found out. Now Dabo's up there. Everybody makes their way there. Just talk about that dynamic, because that used to be theirs.
Yeah, and I think it's, everything within the state. Certainly that's a hotbed in the state, but, there was one year in the Fuente era where they signed one guy in the state. I mean, you just can't win if you're going to recruit locally like that. And, I think to Brent Pry's credit, he and his staff have made Virginia a priority again in recruiting. They've been down in the 757 in Richmond and Northern Virginia, those three hotspots around the state. So I think they can do better. I don't know if it's ever going to get back to a time where they just get all the guys out there. And honestly, looking back, I don't know if there ever was a time they got everybody. I mean, it's sort of been an area that a lot of schools can get to and a lot of schools, go in there to recruit. But you know, Penn State has dominated. You know, Clemson has gone in there, Florida State, Alabama. You need to prevent some of that poaching. You need to get some of those top guys, even if it's not all of them. And, you know, I keep using the word trending. I think they're trending in that right direction. They're not quite there where they're getting all of those guys, but they're getting some of them and perhaps close to enough of them that you're starting to make a big dent on this roster and really upgrade the talent.
All right, last thing for you, and it takes a lot of this. I mean, the right opponent and everything else. I want to ask about the home environment in Lane, because I've been there before on Saturday for a Miami game, for a Virginia game. I wasn't there for Ohio State, but, I mean, there have been plenty of times at Lane that I said that it was an SEC-level environment. I was like, that's like the biggest compliment I can give you, I think. I hope it didn't offend anybody. But is that still possible?
They'd love to be in the SEC right now, I'll tell you that.
I said Clemson, Florida State, and Blacksburg. I was like, those are the places in the ACC where, and this was about 10 years ago, I was like, you can get a consistent SEC feel when you walk in there on the right with the right opponent and all that. Is that recoverable? Because it's harder to impress any fan now just to get them out to the stadium and the student section and all of this. But what about the Virginia Tech fan base? Is that a vibe that you could still get back into consistent bases in Lane?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, that crowd has consistently showed up even through what's been a very lean decade for this program. I mean, we're talking about, they haven't, you know, won an ACC title since 2010. I've only played in the ACC title game twice since
wow.
then. I mean, it's been a while since this program has been humming, and, you know, they're still averaging 60,000 plus in a, in, you know, 65,000 seat stadium. So, you know, the fan support has been there. Some of the big games, you know, night games, remember the opener against UNC coming off the COVID year. So everybody's back in the stadium for the first time, that opener against UNC and Sam Howell in 21, I guess it would be. That was an electric atmosphere they had in Lane Stadium.
Wasn't that a Friday night thing?
Yeah, it was.
That's really what it was, and the big crowd. Upset. They were like a top 10 team.
Yeah, and that was from start to finish. I think they can still have that kind of crowd that can really generate electricity and an atmosphere that, you know, is problematic for opponents to play in as well. Maybe not as consistently hit that just because the team hasn't been as good recently, but the crowd still shows up and still shows out for the Hokies. It's been a pretty impressive loyalty, I would say.
That's fantastic, because that really was one of those things. I say in college football, it matters. I mean, where'd my timeout go, and where'd that extra 5 yards? And Lane was always one of those. And like I said, you know, maybe when you get an opponent like Ohio State or the right whoever, Virginia coming in at the end of the right season, you can ruin something for Mike London maybe. You know, they're special crowds, but it always has been that environment. Brother, I appreciate you coming on today, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Any better? TechSideline.com. That is a website, TechSideline.com. It'll take you everything you need to know about the Hokies. And it's not – Clemson people didn't want to hear it. It's like, we don't have an SEC environment. I was like, nah, you kind of do. The size of the stadium and the national championship thing, I've talked about that before, that when you look at, for instance, the two Mississippi schools, I was like, I'm not saying it's because of. I'm saying that it's all the things that it's also indicative of, that you don't win a national championship with a 65,000-seat stadium. It didn't seem to matter a whole lot as far as the effect on the road team. When I want to say, we were talking Logan Thomas earlier, and Logan Thomas was a guy who actually turned himself into a really good NFL tight end. But Logan was a big, giant, physical kid. And back, I guess it was 11 and maybe 12, he did his thing at Virginia Tech. And right after that is when it kind of started to waver a little bit with Beamer. And so when it's a legend, it always takes a few seasons. And I mean a few, like 4 or 5 maybe. With Bobby Bowden, maybe it lingered a little longer. But with a legend and an all-timer, and then you can look back and there's a clearly defined time. Like, it wasn't great ever after this year, and then still he got, and then you count how many seasons. So it was just a few. It was 3 or 4. But the program wasn't the same in those final 3 or 4 seasons. Then with Fuente, it never achieved that. And there was some success right at the outset, but then it went sideways too. And that surprised a lot of folks. But it wasn't just the, well, we're not winning as much games. It's just kind of the feel around the program. It wasn't as much fun to be there. It just, it wasn't. And if you have that ability to kind of recapture that, we're spilling over the gills and it looks like it's an SEC environment. Because honestly, you get a little bit of like that LSU death, not 90,000 or what, but you get a little bit of that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back and continue on this Friday next.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
So about that, we're a basketball school thing. Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, and March is about stories, and when a kid from Oakland hits 10 threes and the Golden Grizzlies eliminate number 3 seed Blue Blood Kentucky in the opening round, the first Thursday of the NCAA tournament, men's tournament, that's a story in and of itself, no matter what's going on the bench at Kentucky. We had Matt Jones on, our good friend from Kentucky Sports Radio. Let's go back to the end of October, and we were talking Kentucky football with him, and maybe it was Midnight Madness was that Friday night. And they've actually changed it. You don't have to wait till midnight anymore. So we were, as I was like, hey, Matt, quick word about the Kentucky men's team. And he said, because they had this five-star freshman, this five-star freshman, this five-star freshman, et cetera. And I said, what are the expectations? Because, you know, really talented kids, but they're freshmen. And he almost just, Jay's like, national championship. He said, Kentucky fans don't want to know. He's like, the one, I think they had a senior coming back, and they had another kid, and then they had all these, like, just stud, just children. And the expectation was national championship. Now, it doesn't mean it was based upon realistic settings. It could have just been, well, I'm a Kentucky fan, and we hadn't had one in a minute, and so I want one now. Regardless of what they wanted, Kentucky was wildly inconsistent on defense. And they could get up and down and score. But then there were times, and especially, we heard Ferengo talk about it. He said, their defense on the three, bleh. And so, bomb, 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 and suddenly Oakland, the 14 seed, advances. So back to John Calipari's tiff with Mark Stoops back during the season, during football season, because when he made the comments and it was about, are we a basketball school? Are we a football school? And there are a lot of things that are, and I said this at the time, it was the day we had Matt on, said there are a lot of things that are true that you just don't need to say. I said, Kentucky is a basketball school. They're not a football school. Georgia's a football school. You can be both. Florida has been. Florida might be right now. But Florida has absolutely been national championship both sports. And then there's baseball. Hey, look, they're great at that. So they're just a tremendous athletic department. Kentucky's based around men's basketball. It's different there. That's just the bottom line. And if you have seen the number associated with firing John Calipari, it's because he was right in his statement. They are a basketball school. And to pay him his buyout to move on from John Calipari, you would think most schools, first of all, well, no, John Calipari, he's our basketball coach. This is college basketball. John Calipari is the coach. That means we're good. We've got it right. We figured it out. We'll move on. That's most schools. At Kentucky, all they know is we lost 10 games in the regular season. We never really developed. And we just got bumped on the first day of the tournament. That's what they know. In a year where they were expecting a national championship again, wherever that should have been or not, that's different. He was right. That's the point. All the way back to what he said. John Calipari could get fired, I suppose. If he doesn't, it's not because $33 million is too much to fire the Kentucky basketball coach. If there was another, I don't know who the next guy is going to be that gets plucked. Maybe somebody wants to go get Hurley. I don't know. But Calipari was that guy at Memphis. Rick Pitino had been that guy like way, way, way back in the day. And you kind of move. In fact, head coach Billy Donovan. And then Billy Donovan became that guy. And Billy Donovan's like, I don't want to be that guy in college anymore. I want to be that guy in the NBA. So Kentucky right now, $33 million. They're so angry about the outcome of that. So angry. And it is, and just folks online as well, and go look at the social media, and that's just not even a barometer of things. That's just, you know, the pulse of some angry folks who have bandwidth. The folks who matter for voting on, all right, there's five of us. Let's vote. Do we fire him? Like that short list of folks. Supposed to be a national championship this year because we're a national championship level program, because we're a basketball school. Go all the way back to what I was saying about Maryland and UCLA and Hungary. And if the money works, you don't really have to be as hungry. Kentucky basketball, that's as blue blood as it gets, based 100% on who we are and who we want to crow to, and the fact that we're across state from Louisville and North Carolina's right there, and then there's Indiana. But like all of this stuff, it's really important that they win. Kentucky football, it's not. They're hungry in basketball, and we may see that play out. Kentucky football, brother, the money is working. And so based on the overall expectation levels of what that program is, they don't have to improve. Kentucky basketball, they have to improve. They don't want to lose 10 games. They don't want to be a 3 seed, and they certainly don't want to leave before half the teams have even taken the floor for even one game. Football, different. Win the 8 games. Win 9 ever so often. Maybe be a playoff team in a 12-team era once every 20 years. Go to 14. Maybe it'll be twice in 20 years, but you don't have to. Why? Because the money works so much, and that's not really what we're about at the University of Kentucky. So that is just the true economics at work as we are now in day 2 of March Madness properly being kicked off. Going to take a break. Continue next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And there are a lot of fan bases in the SEC that are going to have a first time ever sort of experience, at least for modern day fans and such. For some reason, Auburn and Texas got into a home and away thing in the 80s, and Auburn actually played out there in Austin twice, and the most recent time, 1991. And so there may be Auburn fans of a certain age that have been to a football game with their team in Austin, but it's a different time, folks. 30 years ago, there was no hospitality tent city outside of the stadium. It was, if you had an RV or a truck, good for you, but otherwise that was it. There were no suites. It wasn't even close to the same thing in Austin. Folks, we're going to talk football with our next guest, but we're going to get a visitor's guide because he's been there for Texas games. He's been there for games with his team as the visitor, and that's what a lot of folks of the SEC are going to experience. We're going to get a little hometown flavor from one of our good friends first, and then we're going to talk on field from Sports Talk 790 Yonder in Houston. It's Dan Matthews. Dan, welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
It's been great, Chuck. Hopefully everything's good with you guys.
So I can remember Auburn playing out in Texas 30 years ago, 1991, but that just – it was just happened to be a football stadium, and that's where it was. Talk about what's ahead for either a Georgia fan, a Mississippi State fan, somebody who has not been to Austin for that whole environment. Just give us a quick flyover because, like I said, you know all about that city, but then also you've been there and experienced as an LSU fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be completely different from what SEC fans are used to from the standpoint of going to Oxford or maybe to a smaller extent Baton Rouge, because Baton Rouge is probably the one that would compare the most. Capital city, a city itself, it's not a town where you fly into wherever the major city is, you know, somewhat close and rent a car and drive to it. So that's going to be a little bit different. I mean, it's, you know, right in the middle of downtown Austin. And, you know, even when I left in 2012 to move to Atlanta, Austin is completely different from what it was back then. I mean, it's a major city now. It is every bit as much of Dallas and Houston as any, you know, city can be. So, I mean, that's going to be a little bit different. You know, I mean, the nightlife and everything there, it's you know, unlike, you know, most places you will go just because of what Sixth Street can offer and just also, too, what a great town Austin is. Even with the influx of people over the years, it's still a charming place to go. So I do definitely expect – I've been warning listeners here in Houston that are Longhorn fans, be prepared. Your place is going to be – a destination for many different fan bases. And as we've seen Georgia, when they have a destination on their schedule, their fans will spend the money and they'll go.
I think it's a lot, Austin in particular, Norman, not as much. Austin in particular, it's a lot like, Dan, NFL fans who have, it's our team's first trip to Vegas. It's really one of those places, as you said, the environment, the party, the nightlife, the music, all that stuff. It's just a destination. If you haven't been there, you need to go experience it. All right, let's talk on the field because I want to get your vibe on this from being out there. There is no trepidation from Texas, whether it's the program, the fans, anything like that, and it's not just false bravado. Talk about how well prepared they are to step in, maybe seamlessly, to the Southeastern Conference.
Well, Chuck, you know, something that me and you had talked about before I left is that the reason why Texas fans could finally start to believe that they were back was because they were built up in the most important areas. I mean, we saw what Byron Murphy did last year on the defensive end. We saw what Devondre Sweat did on the defensive line as well. And also, too, on the offensive side, I mean, when we watched that game against Alabama last year, you even had former Alabama players who were saying, this is embarrassing. Like, we're supposed to do this to people, and they're doing this to us. And that's the reason why they were able to make the college football playoff last year, is because they finally checked that box that they had not been able to check for some time. And, you know, even with losing players through either recruiting, but also, too, the transfer portal, there's a reason why Texas fans believe they're going to be back this year, that they're going to have an opportunity to be part of the Field of 12. They are going to have an opportunity to be in Atlanta for the SEC championship game because of the players that they've been able to add. I mean, on the offensive end, you would think losing Xavier Worthy, losing Jordan Whittington, losing JT Sanders, losing Brooks at running back, that it would be a fatal blow to a program that's trying to find their way back into national title contention again. That hasn't been the case. I mean, they've been able to go out and add Amari Nyblak. They've been able to go out and add Isaiah Bond, both from Alabama. They've been able to add Matthew Golden, who was a difference maker and probably one of the real bright spots from an overall just disappointing U of H team last year, and he's somebody that can come in and be an immediate difference maker. So, you know, while Mike Norvell will get the credit for being the portal king, same deal with, you know, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, Steve Sarkisian deserves a ton of credit for not only being able to replenish talent, but also, too, I think playing the same playbook that Kirby played in Athens. He changed the fan base's mindset. And I think, in turn, changed the mindset of players who were entering into the program. For the longest time, Texas had been a program that had really struggled with entitlement and just thinking, hey, we can just show up and we'll be national title contenders. He quickly told them, no, you cannot. And the results showed. And I think it took him a few years to be able to really try to at least convince the fans and not only them, but the players that was the case. I mean, we remember the Bo Davis leaked audio of telling guys to transfer. I mean, they were trying to purge the program of entitlement as best they right. could. And I think they've been able to do that to some large degree. And now it's, you know, the next charge for their program, which is kind of like, you know, I thought about this before coming on with you because I figured we were going to talk about this. I remember being around the Georgia program after they nearly won the national title in the 2017 season. That's when the charge began of don't just expect we're going to be here. And that's been something that Steve Sarkisian has been really trying to guard against this offseason.
All right, bounce over to Baton Rouge, and I just want to know in your mind, like, what does Dan Matthews' eye see this offense doing in 2024? And I'm talking about approach. Like, do they want to lean on the running backs? Is it going to be Nussmeier? And I will say an impressive whip, just like, no, full steam ahead, let's throw it. Is it going to be Nussmeier being a dual threat? Like, what do you think that they want to get done, at least initially, what do you think that their approach is going to be?
I think initially their approach is going to be continue doing what they've been doing because obviously it's been working. And even without Brian Thomas Jr. and most notably Malik Nabers, they've been able to throw the football and they've been able to do it incredibly well. And obviously that started with Joe Burrow to some degree in 2018 and really took off in 2019. Now having Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and, you know, the players that they had on that offense, that sure helped, but I think they want to continue that. I also do think that they want to be able to have the running game in their bag. And what does that necessarily mean? You at least want it to be a part of your offense. And they started to kind of have that a little bit last year. And that was a huge reason why they were able to have the success they had, because it sure wasn't on the defensive end. I mean, otherwise Blake Baker is not in Baton Rouge right now, and Bo Davis is not leaving Texas and being paid the money he is to come to Baton Rouge and not only coach that side of the football, but also to be able to build up that side of the football, which, I mean, who would have ever thought that we'd be talking about an LSU program that would be able to throw the football the way that they do and have the offense they do, but be so deficient in the secondary and really to some degree up front. That just doesn't seem like that computes. That doesn't seem like that's the program. And that was the charge this offseason, was to be able to make this team as complementary as possible. And, I mean, you know, when you lose players like we were just talking about with Texas, like Nabers and like Thomas Jr., that can be tough to replace. So I think that that's going to be a little bit of a burden of proof. Also, too, I mean, we've seen, you know, one crack at it, if you will, quarterbacks like Garrett Nussmeier before. He obviously has had some experience. I mean, he even, too foolishly, having some LSU fans who wanted him to play over Jaden Daniels, obviously as Daniels continued along last year, those cries started to quiet down quite a bit. But, you know, he has experience in this offense. I mean, you know, obviously with having a new OC now, that's going to be a little bit of a adjustment to a point, but it was obviously somebody that was in the program too as well, so there won't be too much of a learning curve from that side. But I think the long and short of it is they at least want to be able to capably, if they are in a short yardage situation, be able to say, okay, we can turn around, we can hand it off, we can run it, and we can get the first down, because that really, going back to 2020, has not been something that's necessarily been consistently in their bag.
Last thing for you, and it's college hoops. I don't know. Your parents' house, there are multiple degrees from U of H on the wall. Can the Cougars actually win this thing this year?
Absolutely they can. And, you know, the real key for them is going to be getting past the second round. And I've said that if they get past the second round, I think they have pretty much a red carpet to get to Phoenix, because I'm not worried about who they would possibly face in the Sweet 16. I'm not worried about who would come out of the lower end of the bracket if they made it to the Elite Eight. You know, you factor all of that in with just how good they are defensively, that they're a team that is known for their offensive lapses. And if Jamal Shedd and L.J. Crier are not filling it up, then the games can get interesting. And we saw that a lot of times this year. Oklahoma was a game. Baylor was a game where it fits that profile. But they're a little banged up. I mean, they lost Terrence Arsenault early on in the season. You know, they also lost most recently, you know, Jesse Tugler. They hope to get Ramon Walker back. That can hopefully get them a boost on the defensive end. And Juwan Roberts also, too, has been banged up, as he wasn't really able to give it much of a go against Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. But just because of how good they play on the defensive end, absolutely, they have every chance to be able to find their way to Phoenix. And also, too, I mean, you know, a lot of the experts have them at least getting to the national title game as well. And depending on who you talk with, winning the whole thing when it's all said and done.
Folks, this is why he's at Sports Talk 790 in Big Giant Houston. Dan, I appreciate you lending a little expertise today, friend. Thank you.
Always great to catch up with you, buddy.
Dan Matthews! He was here, and now he's there. He was our producer. We got a record going still. It's Brandon Adams, and now he's Mr. Dog Nation. Carlos Medina, and then he moved on. He's a radio host, Morning Drive, top 10 market now. And then Dan Matthews, he's like, yeah, I'm going to Houston. I'm going to work for the Astros flagship. I think the Rockets, too. So and Texas football, too. Wow. So good for Dan. So I appreciate his time. All right, we're going to break. We'll come back, wrap up on this Friday next.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Obviously, there's been a big push especially on the defensive front, to get bigger from a philosophical standpoint. And so we give that to Coach Wiley, to Rachel Suba, all of those people, and then they take it and run with it. And yeah, the results, even a couple months in, I know I shared a few the other day, but the results are there. I mean, we are noticeably bigger.
Lincoln Riley, head coach, USC. They're practicing. All right, the reason I say, oh, my. Chuck Oliver Show, it's Friday. Big is just big. Now, big can be part of your goal. And I had mentioned earlier, maybe a couple of weeks ago, when I'll bring it up here, because Lincoln Riley's talking about we're getting bigger on defense. There is an idea where, like, that's kind of just the base. We need to start with just big. Like, we'll worry about good after that. We need to get big. Well, what do you mean, Chuck? You just said that's just size. You're right. In certain situations, like with Tennessee, do you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking Tennessee? I was like, I think I like them a lot. I'm getting more intrigued with them. And I said, I have one red flag. It's not even pink. It's red. Tennessee's ability to hold up against a physical team that just wants to run the ball over the final, like, 6-17 of the game. Tennessee is down 6. And the opponent gets the ball, however, their own 10-yard line, 6.5 minutes left. When they want to Bama Tennessee, like Bama did last year, and just line up and mash on you, can you do that? I love me some James Pierce, and all of us should. Raise your hand, you're a James Pierce fan. All right, everybody just raise their hand. That's part of it. Part of it is like Elijah Simmons and who else in the middle. When it's the fourth quarter against a playoff caliber team who decides 6-17 left, let's muscle up on these guys. How do you hold up? So, back to Lincoln Riley. I understand that being part of the goal. And it's, I guess, a development because, yes, he's always recruited defense and wanted to win. The emphasis has been let's score 40 and see how it goes. And it just hasn't worked, and so he's made changes, and he's bringing in more players. But big is just big. It's not necessarily any sort of outcome there. That's just the truth. We were talking earlier in the show. We had Dan Matthews on from Sports Talk 790 out there in Houston. They're Longhorns flagship, but then also they remember the Astros and the Rockets as well. And your school's first trip ever to Austin, it's going to be, he talked about, the party district, not even the party district. It's somehow more sophisticated than that. And it's not the arts and crafts district either. I mean, it's a throwdown, hoedown, out Texas style with music and food and all kinds of great stuff. And I've been there, Second Avenue. I've been there. It's like there's a place in Denver that's got an equal to it. And it's just kind of a place where you just know, hey, this is where you're going to go and you're going to have a blast. It's not like that way in every big city, and that's what Austin is. In Knoxville, it's just a little different. In Starkville, it's a lot different. And so if you are, I don't know, Florida, when's the last time they played in Austin, if ever? I told you for Auburn, and I went and checked. I was like, did I miss a game? No, 1991. And so in all practical senses, if you're 40 years old, you probably didn't go. And if you did, you don't remember it. And if you did go and you remember it, what you remember is totally different now. So that is a college football. This is a big commentary, college football version of an NFL fan's when his or her team makes their first trip to Las Vegas. That's this exact same thing. It's a college equivalent. So think about how exciting it is for an NFL fan when, you know what really doesn't exist very much in college? Excuse me, in the NFL? Road trips, not really. There can be a fun place you go to, like, we're playing in New Orleans. Well, let's go to New Orleans. But there's never really a burning desire. We're going to Charlotte all weekend. Why? Well, I'm a Bears fan and we play the Panthers. You're not going to Charlotte. You're going to see the Bears. I'm talking about destination as a city. Folks, if you're a Vikings fan and it's the first time they've ever played the Las Vegas Raiders, you're going. And you're not really going to see, you're going with the excuse and justification that it's my team. Really? How many times have you gone to Seattle to see the Vikings play? How many times did you go to Kansas City? How many times did you go to Detroit? It's my team. I'm going to Detroit. No, you're not. You're not going to Cincinnati. You're going to Las Vegas. That's what I'm talking about. That's a heck of a, like, man, you reach the end of the rainbow there. If you're Texas and Austin and everybody around there. Been a full day on the Duncan Newsmaker line. I appreciate Dan joining us, as I said, from Sports Talk 790 out there in Houston. Also, Irish Shuffle War Chant Managing Editor joined us at bottom of the first hour. And then also Andy Bitter from TechSideline.com. It's a website, TechSideline.com, to talk a little Virginia Tech. So, again, Duncan Newsmaker Line, appreciate everybody making time to come on today. When it comes to the list of spring games, I had talked about earlier in the program about how a lot of these had been transitioned to the pluses and the extras. That continues this weekend. There is, again, as we go through every single weekend, you've got an increasing number of these spring games. And what you're going to find in so many cases now is you don't have access to them unless you're paying for the next layer of the broadcast. And so just understand that if you're looking around and thinking, like, Hawaii's already had their game, Missouri's already had their game, when your team's Saturday is coming up, if it's on a Saturday, there's a pretty good chance that you have to have that next layer of broadcast access. So don't think that it's anything you did. It's just kind of where they're moving this. Also, one more thing going on with spring practice as well. There's a chance we've been paying too much attention to maybe the wrong transfer in Athens, Georgia, and maybe even just not splitting our attention between the right transfers. I've told you, ETN is a monster running back and offensive weapon, and I thought as good as anybody in the SEC, and that's been 2 years in Gainesville and wondering why he wasn't used more. He's now in Athens, and we've covered that, and everybody's paid a lot of attention, and we should have because he's that great. Colby Young, big receiver transfer from Miami. And when I say we've been paying too much attention to maybe a different transfer, maybe we should split it up. It's not just too much for ETN and Colby Young, the receiver should get more. if you look in Athens as well, that transfer just receivers. It's London Humphreys, the kid coming down from Vanderbilt, that has getting a lot more attention than Colby Young. So early returns and evolving opinion of new guys in Athens. Colby Young is just one to keep an eye on out there. So, all right, as we wrap it up on this Friday, for Heath, for David, for everybody at the Chuck Oliver Show, appreciate you coming here for your 2 hours of college football conversation. We do it every day, been doing it for 10 years, so thank y'all for that blessing. Going to take a couple of days off, recharge the batteries, and the whole crew will be back Monday with more college football talk right here.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.